Hallelujah. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we say thank you for today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, because you're a faithful God. You're forever faithful. Thank you, Lord, because you do not leave us without a word. Lord, it's time for you to speak. Father, Lord, I ask that you speak. And I ask that your people will hear what you want them to hear. Father, Lord, let them hear. Let them not hear the voice of the messenger. Let them hear the word of God, Father, Lord. Lord, the word that you have laid in my heart, Father, Lord, to share, Father, Lord, I pray it will connect to our soul today in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that someone will come here today and will not go back the same way, Father, Lord. Lord, we ask that your presence will come down, Father, Lord. May I look up to the cross, and may we all look to the cross, Father, Lord. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I knew I was going to share this message, and I didn't know what form it was going to take. But one of the things is once we're in church, we should be able to discuss what happens in our day-to-day life. Because it's from there we can get strength, isn't it? Praise the Lord. In a common church or common gathering where all of us have the same faith or same belief. Hallelujah. So I'll start from somewhere and I'll take you on a journey. And along the way, God might give you a word. You hold on to it, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So can we have the first slide, please? I'll start. We'll just start a little bit different along the way. Do you know these people? I'll start with this. Do you know these people? We're going to have some pictures. Last time I know I showed Pastor and I got away with it. So this time around I'll show more people. So praise the Lord. Next picture, please. Do you know this man? You know this man? Maybe some of the old school might not know him, isn't it? Let's have his name, please. Yes, that's Michael Jordan, isn't it? Famous basketball player. Junior days, he was 5'11". He couldn't play in the senior team because he was too short. But he grew to 6'6". Okay? A billionaire now, I think. Doing very well. Next picture, please. Do you know him? Yeah, some people are... Okay, another picture. Maybe that will help you. Name, please. Michael Phelps. That is 28 gold medals. All-time Olympic great. All-time Olympic great. One of the things is he had a deficiency syndrome. He was hyperactive. They call it ADHD. And the first time he entered pool was just to expedite his energy, just to release his energy. And from there, he moved on to become a champ. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me go to maybe to some old school. Next picture, please. Oh, no, still young. We know this one. That one's everybody. Name, please, Cristiano Ronaldo, isn't it? Had a surgery at 15 years old, but they call him GOAT now, isn't it? Great of all times, isn't it? So let's go to old school quickly. I know I'm taking you somewhere. Do you know this man? All right, name, please. I hope there's no Jew here. Adolf Hitler, isn't it? Next one, please. And do you know this man? Chairman Mao, father of modern day China. The first one killed 20 Jews. This one killed how many? About 5 million or so or thereabouts of Chinese in the process of changing things. Now, let's go to the ones that you would know and you'll be happy with. What's that? Billy Graham? Okay. The next one? Avi Zacharias. Born in Mumbai, is it? Or Delhi? Mumbai. He's a man of truth. He speaks from the point of truth. He takes the word and he tries to debate from the point of truth. And that has been his ministry and he has helped so many people. And the last one, this one was from my African brothers. Name, please. Pastor Enoch Adeboye, one of the biggest Pentecostal pastors of modern day. But the question I have for you, they have something in common. I know there's a good. And you saw the bad. and you saw the men of God, what would they have in common? Anybody have an idea what they, all these will have something in common? They have something in common. They have a character in common. Well, passion. Okay, passion. Yes, close to that. Close to that. Cannot get an answer. Zeal. Yes, we're getting closer. We're getting closer, warmer. Can we have the next word? And they were all motivated to succeed. They were motivated to succeed, whether for good or for bad. Am I correct? All of them were motivated. Without that motivation, none of them will be where they are. So today, we're going to be talking about motivated in Christ. Motivated in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you together with me? And the reason why I did that for you is not for us to look at it from the secular and from the spiritual point of view. God is a balanced God. What works in the secular, he can use that for the spiritual. Praise the Lord. And just for you to define, maybe some people might know what a motive is, because the word motivated comes from motive. It means something that causes a person to act, isn't it? Something that causes a person to act. Praise the Lord. Motivation, the act or process of giving someone a reason for doing something, isn't it? Praise the Lord. The act or process of giving someone a reason to do something. Those are the simple definitions, and then you'll find out where it is. Now, man has been trying to define what is motive, what is motivation. There are so many theories, isn't it? And I know some of you that have been in MBA schools, business schools. There are so many theories. One of them is the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, isn't it? Have you heard of that? Maslow's, I'll just show it for people that might not be together with me. It's a simple theory that everybody has a need. And it starts from the fundamental needs and it grows up to the last need, isn't it? It starts for the physiological needs. You need air, you need water to live, isn't it? Then you need safety needs to be able to be safe. A lot of us are here in this country because we feel safe. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, I think I came back home and I left my car door open. And my wife was saying, oh, you left your car door open. I said, well, I'm in Oman. Praise the Lord. If I was in Nigeria, that car would be gone within seconds. You know? But that's why some of us are here. And then the second one is, we love to have sense of love and sense of belonging, isn't it? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and what else is there? I'm not too sure. They're new every day, isn't it? People want a way of friendship, of connecting. That's our inherent needs, isn't it? And the other one is our esteem, respect, self-esteem, recognition. Everybody wants that in one form or the other. Sometimes we see in the household of God, my name is Pastor. You didn't put that pastor there. There's a problem. You go to the office. You didn't put engineer in my name. That's a problem. I think the last week they were doing some reorganizations, and in our company they have what you call reference indicators. The higher you go, the smaller the reference indicator comes. The larger it is, that shows you're on the bottom ladder, isn't it? And somehow these IT people don't ever get it right. And they rolled it out. Believe me, some people were not happy because they had larger numbers than smaller numbers. And I said, give me a larger number, provided my salary doesn't change. I don't care. You know, but people want self-recognition. And the last one is more self-actualization, desire to be more than you are. Now, that's the way man has been able to put it together. Now, is it bad? Give and take, no. Depends on how you prioritize it. But in this, if I could change it, the basis there below the physiological one will be Christ. And then everything else will be built on that. But I'm not Maslow, so I cannot change that. I can only make my own recommendations, isn't it? Praise the Lord. But I went to the Bible, and there was no word like motivation or motive. There was none. There was none in the Bible. I checked, there was no word in the Bible about motive or motivation. The word there, my sister said zeal. Yes, zeal was there. You know? But one thing I discovered, the motive that we're talking about is the will that God gave us when he created man in the early days and he created woman. He gave us a will, isn't it? If you go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, Brother Matthew, can you take that from me?
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate.
Praise the Lord. A tree desirable. Desirable. So you saw it, you wanted it, isn't it? So she had a will to want something. But then that's where the wrong motive came into play. Because that wrong motive was for certain things so she could be wise. She didn't go back and ask the maker to give her wisdom. She desired it. And one of the things is I found out is motive is generated in the heart. Isn't it? You cannot see someone's motive from his face. Can you see it? You cannot. It's something that is generated in the heart. Now, a lot of times in the church, we tend to look at the outward appearance. For example, for the Lord does not see man as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's what Samuel said. That's what the Lord told Samuel, isn't it? But God looks at your heart. There are some times that some of us, that your people have condemned you from what they see on the outside. Now, I stand here to tell you, God looks at the inside. And I'm here to encourage you. If you're right with God, regardless of what people say outside, what matters most is what God says on the inside. Praise the Lord. I know a lot of people have been condemned one way or the other because of what people see on the outside. We all have our struggles. We have our struggles in our life. Today you're up here, today you're down here. It's a journey we're all in. But I want to emphasize, God looks at the inside. So don't kill yourselves. God has given us grace in different ways. We're walking towards perfection. But always remember, God looks at the inside. But at the end of the day also, your inside should be right with God. Don't forget where Abraham fell on his face in 17:17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said inside, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old?" He laughed, but God looked at him. It wasn't a malicious laugh. It was looking like it's an impossible thing, isn't it? But God rewarded them. And he had to name his son Isaac, for he laughs. The same thing with Noah. Can you read Genesis 6:5-6 for me, please, Brother Matthew?
Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart.
Praise the Lord. Now that was when the Lord destroyed the earth, isn't it? And what happened at that particular point in time? God saw the heart of man. He didn't only see the outside part, the fornication, the idolatry. He didn't see that. He saw the inside and every intent of what man was doing. And he said, "No, I have to destroy this race." That shows you that God looks beyond what we can see in the physical. On the outside, people could have said, "Oh, it's not that bad. It has not gotten that bad." But God knew where they were going to. Peter and Ananias.
Acts 5:3-4. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God."
It started within there. It started within the heart. So motive leads to intention, and then it leads to a plan. Isn't that what we saw with Ananias and Sapphira? They developed it, and it went to a plan. You go first and lie. I'll come back and lie also. So that's where it starts. It grows, isn't it? The same thing. Fasting. Yes.
Matthew 6:16. For moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward.
Praise the Lord. And it's wonderful this message is in the season of Ramadan. I'm in the office and I'm always challenged why I'm not fasting. I'm made to look like I'm not a responsible person, that I cannot fast. In fact, I had this conversation on Thursday. I was speaking to one of my colleagues, a local. I said, why aren't you fasting? You know, you should be able to fast. And it was looking like I was impossible. Then the answer I always give them, I said, in my faith, when you fast, it's between you and your God. No one is meant to know you're fasting. And usually once I give them that answer, they keep quiet. Because they know the other side of how they're fasting, and everybody must know why they're fasting. But this one is kind of a jovial person, and then he came back and he told me, oh, that means if you're fast, I never knew you're a religious person. So that, I started laughing. I said, so fasting and religion are together. So if I don't fast, that means I'm not a religious person. You know? So it was a banter, and I get asked that question. Now, I'm looking for opening to go more than that. But by the time I give them the honest answer, all of them keep quiet. Because it's the word of God. God looks at the heart. What are you doing? When you're fasting, what are you doing? When you're fasting. Praise the Lord. So I just a little bit moved away from a little bit what I was saying. But because I want you to know that the motive that you have in your heart is what God looks at. Now, if God has convicted you, and you're going the wrong way, then that is a sin. Okay? So don't allow anybody look down on you or say on the outward appearance that this guy cannot make it. God is merciful and he will judge you by the contents of your heart. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are we together?
Yeah.
Now, the next slide. We have different types of motives, and I'm sure all of you will know. We have good motives. We have good motives, isn't it? I showed you the athletes, Ronaldo, Michael Phelps, and Michael Jordan. They went all out to be the best in their profession. Is that wrong? No, it's good. God has given you the ability to do that, and you have to do it to the best of your ability. In fact, if you're not doing it to the best of your ability, you're not fulfilling God's destiny in your life. Isn't it? So there are good motives that are out there. And I don't want to discourage you. Whatever is good, you pursue it. But we have to look at it in the whole priority context. Having a job is good. Taking care of a family is good. They're all good motives. Making sure your kids go to very good schools. Making sure they do their homework. It's all part of building good reasons for that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are we there? Are we together? Now, the next one is we have wrong motives. Some people require a motive to do what they're meant to do. I heard of this slang a long time ago. I went to Nigeria and I was asking for something to be done. And they said they needed motivation. Nigerians are laughing. My dear brothers are here laughing. They said they needed motivation. And the motivation is the wrong type of motivation that you're requiring, isn't it? Someone wants a kickback or somebody wants something. A motivation to do what you're supposed to do. And sometimes it's very familiar with a lot of artisans. Maybe you have somebody that will do some plumbing work for you, or he's doing some construction in your house, and you have to pay it instrumentally. He works today, you pay him for today. He works tomorrow, you pay for tomorrow. If you don't pay for today, you won't come tomorrow. That payment motivates him. So it's not totally bad because it's his money. Sometimes you have contracts, you have what you call mobilization at the beginning, but that is what some people use that for, the wrong thing. In James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, please.
Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Hallelujah. How many times do you come to church? God, I'm praying for this. I want this. I mean, there's no kabashi you don't do. But what is the motive behind that your request? And that verse explains everything. On the outward, it might look, oh, this is a good thing. He wants this. He wants this. But is that to satisfy your own worldly pleasures? Such a soul. I think Pastor Lester today said, pray is your own moment and pray for what you're asking for. It's very right. Pray for what you're asking for. What you want God to do for you. But what is behind that? I was trying to explain to my son. I said, well, God will not answer and say, I'll give you a Lamborghini. You want a Lamborghini? I can't just give you a Lamborghini like that. What, for what reason? What are you going to use a Lamborghini for? Is it to drive around, look good, inside Lamborghini, and maybe crash and you're gone? But what purpose are you asking for? And sometimes we ask amiss. That's why a lot of times our prayers are not answered. And don't forget, because I told you, God looks at the heart. So he knows the end. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a wrong motive. And a lot of things we ask, if you really strip it aside, strip everything, look at it in the real narrow sense, you find out that it's not aligned with God's will for your life. Praise the Lord. Romans 10, 1 to 2.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
They have a zeal for God, but not according to the word of knowledge. So we're talking about the good motive, the wrong or bad motive, and the next one is the godly motive. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 16.
For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer.
Praise the Lord. Godly motive is based on Christ. The love of God compels us. The love of God compels us. There are a lot of things that we need to get done out of the love of God. Not because of any other thing. That's what it is. It's the love of God that will compel you to preach to your brother that's out there that's going down the wrong lane. Isn't it? Sometimes in our marriages, you're having a rocky patch. And what sustains you? The love of God compels you to stay in that union and to make it work. The love of God, that is what it is. Any godly motive is out of the love of God. Other things can compel you to do what it is. You can solve Maslow's law, whatever things. You can do that. But the real foundation is the love of God. Your generosity is out of the love of God. Have you ever had to give something to somebody that you felt they did not deserve it? But God has asked you to do that. I had several examples of that in my university days. God would just ask you that, hey, you have to do this, but you look, this is the person that we don't get along with. But the love of God compels you to do that. The love of God compels you to serve in a ministry, in church, to be a worker. The love of God requires you to support missions. Praise the Lord. The love of God asks you to build a character after the fruits of the Spirit. It can be wrong. You might get it wrong along the line, but it's not the issue. The fundamental is the love of God. That's why in John 4:34, I'll read it. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's number one priority. That was Jesus Christ speaking. If he could come from above and say this is his priority, then how about us? That's our source of motivation. The love of God. Praise the Lord. So I've tried to define good motive, wrong motive, and a godly motive. Now I'm going to talk about dangers of lack of motivation. You might think you're doing okay. There's dangers. There's always the good and the bad, isn't it? You have to look at it from all sides. The first one, if you're not motivated, you will decline physically. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you agree? Doctor, am I correct? If I'm wrong, please stop me. You'll go wrong. I mean, you will decline physically. One thing that comes to mind, maybe people can relate very well. There's a football team that I follow in the Premiership. They call Man United, isn't it? And they finish sixth, isn't it? I think sixth this season. I stopped watching at a certain part of the season. Because we had these fat cats that were collecting £200,000 a week. A week. They were not motivating the pitch. They were just playing dilly-dally because whenever they go home, that £200,000 is coming in at the weekend, isn't it? They were not motivated. Some of them will start adding weight, and that's the end of their career. Physically. I keep on using this because I also have that challenge, going to the gym. I break it. There's a time I used to go 5 days a week, but Brother Vipin always reminds me when he's putting the mic. He will say my 8-pack, and I'm like, oh, Brother Vipin, God will help me. You know, you need that motivation to continue. And if you don't have that motivation, you will pay for it at the end. Men, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can I remember Pastor Leslie's talk to us about health? We need to start it now. So later on, won't worry. I have a brother in my house fellowship. He really tapped into your word. And now he's shaping up. Yeah. From that day he mentioned it. He said, I've taken this before, and he has run with it. He has lost weight. Now I tell him, try and reduce it, but he's looking good. But he has that motivation. He has that drive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And physical decline leads to premature death. That's number two. Premature death. I was talking to his sister Atim, was it yesterday? And we're talking about Nigeria, and this also will happen in India also. There's a lot of depression, isn't it? People are not motivated, people are going to depression, and that increases the rate of what? Suicide in our midst. Nobody talks about it because it's a taboo from where I come from. I'm not sure about India, maybe it's also a taboo, but in Africa, it's a taboo to talk about suicide. But the rate is on increase. Nobody is motivated to live anymore. Lack of motivation. Physical decline. Premature death. And it's so sad because once someone commits suicide, he's going to hell. He's going to hell directly. Nobody has a right to take his life. So why should you be depressed? Why should you be depressed? Am I speaking to someone today? This is dangerous. I'm just flagging it up for you to know the road on which we're going to. Number three, it can lead to spiritual decline. Jonah 4, chapter 4. Maybe Brother Matthew, check this last two verses.
Last two.
Yes. Jonah chapter 4, verse 10 and 11.
But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?"
Praise the Lord. We know the story about Jonah. After that, you didn't hear about Jonah. Those are the last verses of Jonah, isn't it? Those were the last verses of Jonah. But I believe God had a bigger picture for Jonah. But Jonah reached a certain point and just said, "No, I'm tired. You're going to have mercy on these people." For someone that was going to go and preach, and then he came to that low. There was no motivation anymore. Because he felt, "Oh, if I go on and say, you're going to go to death, you're going to die, and God has mercy, they will live again. So why should I go on and do God's work?" You will decline. No motivation to read your Bible or wake up early in the morning. That's the beginning of your spiritual decline. No motivation to join the brothers in fellowship. Victory night was lovely, awesome. Praise the Lord. Choir, God bless you. It was a wonderful time here. I enjoyed every. God was here from the beginning to the end. But a lot of us missed out in it. Thursday intercession, nowhere to be found. Then how can you grow your spiritual life? How can you grow your spiritual life if you're not motivated in things of the word? KSL. Because this as in the church is too big, but you belong to a KSL and you don't attend your KSL. That's number three, spiritual decline. Number four, spiritual substitution in God's kingdom. You're not motivated, God will substitute you. I stand before you, if I'm not motivated, God will substitute me and he'll raise somebody else to fill in this place. The same thing with our pastors, the same thing with our leaders, the same thing with anybody. God will substitute you. Has he done it in the past? Yes. Has done it in the past? Give me an example. Saul? Yes? Saul? Saul was one. I'm looking for one. Okay, yes. There's another one that is kind of Elijah. Elijah. People never look at it from Elijah. Jezebel gave a word to Elijah and said, "Today, I'm going to finish you. I'm going to kill you." Isn't it? Isn't that what she said? And what happened to Elijah? He ran away. Was that God's will for Elijah? He went to hide. And if you read the story, I think three times God asked him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Up to three times. And you notice, and you find out, God came to Elijah. He came in the form of an earthquake, a wind, and the last one was a still voice. And that's a message for a different day, because God speaks in various forms. And Elijah was mature to a certain extent. He's supposed to have known that. Somebody had just finished a miracle on Mount Carmel. Maybe he wanted God to come down and also burn up Jezebel at the same time. But he was supposed to know better. And when God asked him that last time, the next thing what God did was saying, "Just go down, anoint Elisha, anoint Jehu," wasn't it? Elijah was substituted at that time. He was substituted. Forget the time he spent afterwards, maybe Elisha following him. But at that particular point in time, Elijah was substituted. But God was merciful that Elijah did not die. He took him up, isn't it? If you are not motivated in the body of Christ on the assignment God has given you, he will replace you. It's very easy. We do it in our circular work, isn't it? You see, this man is not doing very well. We just carry him and move him to somewhere else, isn't it? Sometimes, if that person has done nothing, they'll leave him to hang. And you bring someone that will be productive. That is in the secular. In the spiritual, it happens. God has given you a ministry. God has given you work to do. And you're not doing it. You're called, you're asked to lead prayers, to bless somebody else. It's not part and parcel of me. God will substitute you. God has asked you to join in the house fellowship. You have refused to join the house fellowship. God will look at another family that will join, that will get the blessing, and he'll bless them. So that is also dangerous. And the final one is spiritual death. Lack motivation, spiritual death to the time that you deny that God exists. Those are the dangers of not being motivated. And we see it happening in our day-to-day lives. Praise the Lord. But I have good news for you. We can be motivated in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As I told you, Maslow has his hierarchy. The bottom one is motivated in Christ. And how do you do that? The first thing is to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Jesus, a child, was found in the temple reading the Word of God, isn't it? That's where your food comes from. That is where your motivation comes from. When you read the Word of God. Sometimes if I read something and it happens to me, that day I'm smiling. Because God has revealed something new to me. Without immersing yourself in the Word of God, there's no way you'll get your motivation. Nowadays, we want a motivational speaker to come and speak to you and you get motivated. Or sometimes you see WhatsApp sending motivational texts. But what does the Word of God say? Because you have to immerse yourself. And that's number two. What does the Word of God say pertaining your circumstances? They've given you a release letter. And I'm happy to tell you, what has God said about you? What has he said about your circumstances? They've given you a bad medical report. What has God said about that circumstance? Have you looked to God? Or are you running to Pastor Abraham? Now, I'm challenging you. I'm not too sure what you're going through in your life. It can be a marriage challenge. It can be a career challenge. It can be health. But I'm here to stand before you and tell you, immerse yourself in the Word of God and ask God about this particular circumstances. God, where are you? I mean, if you go through experiencing God, that's part of it. Where are you in this situation? And I believe God will answer you. God is faithful. God will give you an answer. Praise the Lord. Can I hear someone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
If you ask God, God will show it to you. Even God himself, Jesus Christ on himself, when he was about to go to Calvary, he went and knelt down and prayed and said, God, this is where I'm supposed to go to. But God, can this cup pass away from me? But God reassured him. And he took his bags and went to Calvary. Isn't it? Then talk less of us. God will reveal himself to you. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you have to ask God where he is. And once God speaks, then you have to have faith and claim it. That's number three. Faith and claim it. Now, this is where I'm coming from. God has spoken. You have faith. And you sit down. No. Any pastor that will tell you to do that is wrong. You have to stand up and work. God will not stand up on his Windows computer and send your CV. God will not stand up and go and meet the businessman that you need to go and interact. No. Nowadays, sorry to say, A lot of preachers are preaching for miracles for people just to come down without people standing up to actually go and do the work. When you have faith, it's a sign that you go to work, isn't it? But people miss the aspect of working, and they sit down and they fold their hands and say, okay, God, manna is going to come. I've lost my job. God, what am I going to do? I apply. God, lead me in the right place. I need my children's school fees. God, I don't have money. God has spoken. Do this. God will not go to the bank and collect money for you. God will not go and do that. If God tells that's the way to go, you have to go yourself. You won't fall down. If God says, okay, good, I'm fine. I'm going to send money to you. And you have heard him. It's a different issue. But you have to make an effort. Anybody that tells you don't work or don't make an effort in God's will, that's wrong. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes.
Another thing that gives us motivation, number four, is gratitude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have done 7 years, you know, man. God has blessed you on all sides. Maybe you only came with one suitcase. As I hear a lot of the testimonies, I only came with one suitcase. And I have a whole house living. I came here single. I got married. Oh, I came here married. I have 4 kids. Come on. Hasn't God been faithful?
Amen.
Hasn't God been faithful?
Hallelujah.
God has been good. I can stand to that testimony. God has been good. And I can see everyone here, God has been good to someone here.
Amen.
But we tend to forget that. So what? What's the next chapter? If God can do this past years, he'll do more in the next.
Amen.
But we tend to forget that and we get so, it's a cloudy day. No. One day we'll talk about being grateful in a place of gratitude. We went with Brother Matthew, went for visitation. And I want to be like Brother Matthew at his age. No, well, it's too late. I have white hair already. But physically serving the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? We went there and we were talking and someone said, this is his age. And he said, it's a lie. It cannot be. The man's wife said, it's not true. It cannot be. And what did Brother Matthew say? It's the grace of God. He always says that it's the grace of God. God has been faithful for those years. And I tap into it. Everybody's testimony, I tap into it. Everyone I can see here, you have had a testimony. So don't forget that testimony. Regardless of what you're going through, don't forget that testimony. The Americans will say it was a good run while it lasted, isn't it? It's a certain phase of a life. It was good while it lasted. When you go to the next phase, it will be better. The glory of the latter shall be greater than the former. I love that verse.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is someone hearing me today?
Yes.
And the last one. Peace. Leave it to God. I can't change it. If I can't change it, if I prayed, God has given me a word, I've done my bit. You just have to relax in the hands of God. Now, that's the most difficult aspect to do. Isn't it? Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is it. I can't do anything. I say, God, I've just relaxed in you. Peace. He will take over. Isn't it? Provided you have done everything that is required, isn't it? Why should you be worried about something you cannot change? Isn't it? In Nehemiah 8:10, he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweat, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's how I'm motivated in him. Isn't it? Who will begin a good work in me will make it to a completion. So there's no circumstances that I'm going through when I know somebody that has loved me and he has promised this for me? Praise the Lord. Am I speaking to someone today? I don't want to see anybody carrying a gloomy face. Because we have a father that has given this promise. I'm motivated in him. And you should be motivated in him. In conclusion, because I'm going to get quiet to come and sing. For those of you that missed on Monday, as they were ministering, it was also ministering to the message today. It says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Choir, please, if you can come to the stage. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. They will sing, and as a minister, I'll come back afterwards. As the minister, I want you to listen to these words.
Praise.
And find out you're motivated in Christ because of this is love. Because of the love of Christ. Because of the love of Christ. That's the promise. We're not dead. They said neither death or life, but we're not dead. No principalities, no powers in the office or even spiritual, present or things to come, can separate me from the love of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ocean, no body, no power.
Nothing. 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 Please, you may have your seats. Quiet. Thank you so much. God bless you. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. What a wonderful promise. I'm motivated. If my God says nothing, I mean, if I'm walking right with Him, I'm not living a sinful life, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Then why should I be afraid? God is a good God. Hallelujah. God is a good God. And He will be good to you. He will be good to you. In your circumstances, God will be good. The love of God should motivate us. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What is motivating you? The word you have heard today, does those message motivate you? Has those words planted something in your heart? We go back to that 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 15. I'm reading from New Living Translation. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. The life of Jesus Christ should motivate us. That is what Paul was trying to say there as a good steward. The love of Christ should compel you to hold yourself together, to give peace chance, to serve God wholeheartedly. This is love of God for you. It is the compelling action of love of Christ that is going to benefit us. When you allow Jesus Christ to motivate you, just as we have seen in the beginning of the message, we have seen so many pictures. What are they going to say about you tomorrow? Let your life, let it inspire people. Let it motivate people. When you have the love of Christ, you will walk in His way. The compelling love of Christ should be the motivator that gears us up every second of our life. It will compel us into action to serve Him, to read His word, and to obey His command. It will even control you. In the middle of the message, we heard that somebody wrongly parked his car. I'm telling you, police was about to get involved. But when we have the love of Christ, we'll be very patient. We all come to church. We all see ourselves here. If you don't have that love of Christ, if you are not motivated by His love, there are some actions that you will take. That when people see you, they will ask the question, is this brethren, is he a Christian? Let this love motivate you. Let that love control you. Let the love do what? Control you. In John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, obey my commandment. If you really know that the love of Christ motivates you, His life on this earth and all you have heard about him is motivating you, you will obey his command. By your love for one another, men will know you are my disciple. That is in John 13:35. By your love for one another, men will know you are my disciple. Do you love your neighbors as yourself? Do you love your brethren as yourself? Jesus Christ demonstrated all this when he was on this earth. So let this demonstration, let this love motivate us toward a good ambassadors of Christ. In the book of James 4:17, says, he that knows to do right and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you know the love of God, you know that you're supposed to do the right thing, but you are not doing it, that is a sin. We have heard the message today. We need to build over it. Irrespective of where we find ourselves, let the love of Christ motivate us. Let it spring out into action. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let us be on our feet. I want you to pray for yourself. Ask for the Spirit of God. Because when you have the Spirit of God in you, when the Holy Spirit dwells in you, even when you are about to derail, the love of Christ will bring you back. So as you are standing, tell God, Lord, grant me your Holy Spirit that will always bring me back anytime that I'm about to derail. Open your mouth and pray that, Lord God Almighty, I want to follow your footsteps. As you have been my motivators, I need your Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit continue to fill my life. Let it dwell in my life so that I will always look up unto you. I will always look up unto you in whatever I do. Lord, grant me your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit be my pilot so that I will remain in your fold. Open your mouth and pray and ask God that, Lord, I've heard today's message. The Spirit to follow it wholeheartedly. Father, grant me in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that the God Almighty will open your heart, will open your eyes, and you will see that Jesus Christ has laid down the foundation for our motivation. And we continue to build over it in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Let's open our mouth and pray for his servant that he has used. You see, when you fire a gun, you have to reload it. Let's pray for the man of God that, Lord, you have used him. Reload him with your word. Reload him more so that he will continue to give us inspirational message that will motivate us, that at the end of our life, we'll be able to say, welcome a good servant. Pray for the servant of God. Because when God reloads him more, you will tap from that experience and for the word of God in his life. Pray for him, pray for his family. Pray for his secular job in this land. That God Almighty, this is your servant, is serving you. Load him more in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, reload him with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Almighty God. We bless your holy name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We bless you for this beautiful message that we have heard today. Lord, the foundation has been laid again. Our spiritual eyes have been opened. Our spiritual sense have been opened. That you are the greatest motivator. Father, we pray this plea for us to follow your footsteps. You will grant us in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray this message that we have heard today, as it has gone into through our right ear, into our memory, it shall never disappear in the mighty name of Jesus. He shall continue to remind us that Christ, you are our motivator. That we shall follow your footsteps in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Tomorrow we are stepping into the month of June. And I pray as you step into that month of June, the Lord shall remember you for good in the mighty name of Jesus. Every embargo upon your life, everything that is bringing embargo upon your life, shall be lifted up in the mighty name of Jesus. Stagnation and walking in cycle. And I pray and I decree, they shall cease in the mighty name of Jesus. As you step into the month of June, testimony shall follow in Jesus' name. And peradventure, there is every power. There is any power that you say you will walk like elephant and eat like a rat. They shall be incarcerated in the mighty name of Jesus. They shall cease to exist in the mighty name of Jesus. As you step into the month of June, it shall be the beginning of new era of progress in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. It shall be the beginning of new upliftment in Jesus' name. The beginning of new promotion in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Beginning of joy and beginning of success in the mighty name of Jesus. It shall be a beginning of victory in your life in Jesus' name. I pray that every gate of success that has been shut in against you shall be reopened in the mighty name of Jesus. Your blessing shall continuously reopen in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. You shall be blessed in Jesus' name. The face of God shall shine upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we commit the rest of our activities unto you. You have seen us through in the past 5 months. And for the rest of activities for this year, we call upon you that you have been the motivator for all the activities that we have done in this church. And as we commit the rest of activities unto you, Lord, you will take charge and take control in the mighty name of Jesus. As many that you will be using for your glory in this assembly, in this church, Lord, they shall all look unto you as motivator in the mighty name of Jesus. As we go, Father, go with us in Jesus' name. All our weekly program, Father, take control in the mighty name of Jesus. In your secular job, I pray that the Lord Almighty shall visit you in Jesus' name. As many that may be down with sickness, we pray and we decree that they shall all be set free in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.